This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Execution in Arkansas. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Friday, April 21st. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A convicted killer was put to death last night after some legal wrangling. 51-year-old Liddell Lee was the first inmate given a lethal injection in Arkansas in 12 years.
Tensions are high in Paris after Islamic State took responsibility for the shooting death of a police officer. The attacker was also killed.
The clock is ticking toward a government shutdown next week. Hear what members of Congress are negotiating.
And what's next for former Fox News host Bill O'Reilly, now armed with a reported $25 million severance package.
He could retire comfortably if he wants to, but he's a very competitive guy, and I have a feeling he's not going to go quietly. Everybody gets a second chance in America, a third chance, a fourth chance, however many chances in some cases. And basically I'm saying I think it's going to be pretty hard for him to ever kind of reclaim the stature he had at Fox.
Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman on the tough comeback trail that could await Mr. O'Reilly. He's here in about 20 minutes. Arkansas has executed a convicted murderer, the first of eight executions officials had planned this month before the expiration of the state's lethal injection drugs. The plan had run into extensive litigation in state and federal courts, where judges have halted half of the scheduled executions. The one last night of 51-year-old Liddell Lee was the first in the state since 2005. KATV reporter Maureen Glisovich was among the media members to witness the execution.
It didn't seem rushed. It didn't seem that he suffered from anything. I mean, he was pretty out within a few minutes, and they checked, and then they checked again. They did two consciousness checks.
Mr. Lee's lawyers made last-ditch appeals in federal court asking for a delay to allow for the testing of DNA evidence and for funding to conduct a deeper investigation into his intellectual disability. Mr. Lee was convicted of the beating and strangulation death of 26-year-old Deborah Reese back in 1993. Meanwhile, two other men are scheduled to be executed Monday, and another man later next week. They continue to seek postponements. Islamic State is claiming responsibility for a suspected terror attack in Paris. A gunman opened fire last night on the Champs-Élysées, killing a police officer and wounding two others just days before presidential elections begin in France. Officials say the assault began just before 9 o'clock when a car pulled alongside a police patrol unit and the gunman jumped out and fired an automatic rifle. Police returned fire, killing the gunman. He was identified as a Frenchman named Karim Cherfi. Vice President Mike Pence offered condolences during a visit to Indonesia.
This is just the latest reminder that terrorism can strike anywhere, at any time. Something that the people of Indonesia and the United States know all too well.
Meanwhile, the presidential election until now has been largely focused on the economy, but that could shift. A string of attacks, including one in Paris a year and a half ago that left 130 dead, and the truck attack in Nice that claimed 86 lives last July, has France on edge. Separately, 3 days ago, French authorities detained two men in Marseille on suspicion of plotting an imminent terror attack. To Washington now. The White House has introduced new proposals designed to avoid a government shutdown next week. It's also trying to revive a measure that would replace Obamacare after it failed last month. Legislation is needed to provide funding for the rest of the fiscal year, and the deadline is next week. In negotiations, Democrats are demanding that the bill include money for insurance companies. It's known as cost-sharing payments, and they help insurance firms reduce costs for low-income customers. The White House, meanwhile, in return, wants additional money for defense, the border wall, and border enforcement. Here's President Trump.
The plan gets better and better and better, and it's gotten really, really good. And a lot of people are liking it a lot. We have a good chance of getting it soon. I'd like to say next week, but it will be, I believe we will get it. And whether it's next week or shortly thereafter.
Meanwhile, failure to extend the funding would trigger a partial government shutdown on April 29th. Republican leaders will need Democratic votes in the Senate and likely in the House to pass a spending bill, giving the minority party unusual leverage in negotiations. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Democrats have already failed to win special elections in two House races to fill seats vacated by congressmen who've taken positions in the Trump administration. But they've got their eye on another one in Montana, but are looking for outside help in fundraising. Jonathan Martin, national political correspondent at the New York Times, says the Democrats' base is demanding to compete on terrain that once seemed forbidding. A formula for disputes now and in 2018 about where to put the party's money and field operations. Jonathan, set this up.
There's another race that's also happened that hasn't gotten as much attention. And I spent last weekend out in Montana where there's a at-large election. The district is the entire state of Montana to fill the seat vacated by the Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke. And you've got a really fascinating dynamic out there because while this is a large rural state, it's not just a red state. There's a history of Montana Democrats winning elections. They have a Democratic governor right now. That they've had a Democratic governor for the last 12 years, actually. Mm-hmm. And they've got a Democratic senator as well. So Democrats can win this state. But until now, there had not been any kind of national money coming out to help the Democrat running for the House there, Rob Quist. Now, I think that's changing. I think you're going to see some national money flow that way. But until now, he had not been getting any help, the Democrat had. And this has created a sort of bigger fracture in the Democratic Party between progressives mostly who really want to compete all across the map, you know, red, blue, be damned. They want to play everywhere. And more cautious establishment Democrats who just don't want to spend money in some districts or states where they don't think that they can win.
That's interesting because that little help in Montana and then, boy, tons of money was pumped into that race in Georgia, the vast majority of it from outside of Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, 95% of the Democrats' money in Georgia, John Ossoff, was raised from out of the state. So absolutely. Huge amounts of money coming from California, New York, Massachusetts, where, again, you've got these liberal activists who just want to do something. And so they're helping him out in Georgia, even though many of them have no connection whatsoever to that district. It's just a way of channeling their anger at President Trump and looking for a place they can do it.
Mm. We're speaking with Jonathan Martin, national political correspondent at the New York Times. His piece is entitled, After Georgia's Close Race, Montana Democrats Demand Party's Attention. You quoted someone in the story. Was it the Daily Cause? That the party has no clue how to build and nurture a movement. What do they mean by that? I mean, Obama did that, didn't he, when he won in 08?
Well, I think he's talking about the kind of party establishment in Washington, the congressional committees, the National Party Committee. They want to win seats, and they can be very cautious when it comes to spending money because they don't want to waste money in places they can't win, because then you don't have money to help protect your incumbents. And for a lot of Washington Democratic leaders, that's the number one priority, protecting your incumbents. But that's frustrating to a lot of liberal activists, like Marcos and like other folks in the progressive rank and file, who see enormous energy after Trump's election and don't understand why the party doesn't want to try to harness that energy and compete in districts and states that, may be tough, but where they actually could have a shot. And even if they fall short, they could energize activists, get more people involved, and lead to more money being raised for other campaigns in the future.
Is there concern, Jonathan, since obviously it was that Mr. Ossoff did not win Tuesday in Georgia, and then they took that loss in Kansas,
Democrats would have loved to have won that outright Tuesday. So, yeah, that would have been ideal. But, you know, I think Democrats recognize that they now have a wind at their back. And you've got a lot of Republicans who are concerned, whether it's Georgia or Kansas the week before that. You know, they're winning these heavily red districts by not a lot, and they're having to spend significant money to hold these seats.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Martin, national political correspondent at The New York Times. It's 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Reporting, White House officials say they are developing a sweeping plan to overhaul both corporate and individual taxes, dismissing concerns that a more modest proposal might be a more viable way to go about it in today's political climate. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says the administration will release its tax overhaul very soon.
The objectives are simplify personal taxes, create middle-income tax cuts to spur the economy, and make our business taxes competitive.
Four of Trump's 2016 advisors wrote an op-ed in the New York Times laying out a strategy that would focus on corporate and small business taxes while leaving for 2018 what they call the complex individual income tax system. France's government is reviewing its already extensive election security measures and says it is fully mobilized in the wake of the Champs-Élysées gun attack that killed one police officer. 50,000 police are mobilized to protect Sunday's first-round vote in the two-stage election, with an additional 7,000 soldiers also on patrol. The prime minister appealed for national unity and for people not to succumb to fear. President Trump praised Chinese efforts to rein in the menace of North Korea after North Korean state media warned the U.S. of a super mighty preemptive strike. Trump told a news conference yesterday some very unusual moves had been made over the last two or three hours, and that he was confident Chinese President Xi would try very hard to pressure Beijing's neighbor over its nuclear and missile programs. Trump gave no indication of what China's moves might be. Cuba Gooding Sr., the father of an Oscar-winning actor and a chart-topping R&B singer in his own right, was found dead in his car in Los Angeles yesterday. The Main Ingredient frontman's body was found unresponsive. TMZ is reporting that police suspect a possible overdose. Gooding would have turned 73 next week. After all the problems caused by exploding cell phone batteries, Samsung really needed to hit it out of the park with its new Galaxy S8. But some customers in South Korea, where pre-orders of the new phone became available Tuesday, are already complaining that their screens have a red hue and have dubbed the device the Cherry Blossom Edition. Samsung says the red-tinted screens aren't defects and that users can rectify the issue by adjusting the color range of the display.
Samsung better hope that's not a defect.
I know, right?
They better hope. This is it, right? I mean, they need this comeback phone.
They do, but they're still out in front of Apple, believe it or not, in sales.
Very good. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. How good is the number two at your office, whether a big, medium, or small business? Great bosses get applauded, but an able number two doesn't get much attention. When done right, though, Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger says the deputy's job can be a rich and rewarding role. Sue, what have you found?
You really don't hear much about great number twos. All the attention goes to top leaders, great bosses, number ones, the movies, the books, the studies. But if you look closely at the number two role, it's possible for it to be really pretty satisfying. And if you play that hand with finesse, you can really learn a lot and accomplish a lot.
All right, so explain some of the finesse. What's involved?
You really have to be willing to support your boss, even if you maybe don't agree with the boss's plan. You need to challenge the boss when he or she is wrong. You need to take satisfaction in behind-the-scenes wins. Maybe your role is really Mr. or Ms. Inside, and you really are helping things run smoothly while the boss takes the spotlight. On the other hand, you don't get a lot of the blame if things go wrong, and you don't have to suffer the heat of being in the kitchen, so to speak, when everybody's criticizing you when things take a bad turn.
Mm. All right, so is this one of those two where you have to check your ego?
Absolutely. When I spoke with number twos for this story, they all said that getting the limelight was not their main motivator. They were motivated by other things. Their bosses typically gave them a free hand to accomplish things internally, such as keeping staff morale high, keeping things running smoothly, developing new talent, and that's where they drew their rewards.
That was interesting. I know one of the women you talked to said she was kind of hurt in a separate number two role because the boss, a previous boss, withheld information. Is that a Is that maybe a boss who sees the number two as a threat? Because that's a tough environment.
That was exactly the situation for that number two, and she really couldn't operate because the boss was not letting her know some critical things about what was going on with the organization. You're really at the mercy of the number one, and if the number one doesn't want you to succeed, there's no way you're going to. Mm. That's another big drawback of being the deputy.
All right, so that's that puts more pressure on the boss, too, in terms of, I don't know, development, right? I mean, you got to have somebody who's good in your number two spot for you to succeed.
Absolutely. And it's really incumbent on the boss to give that number two the freedom to actually have control over some aspects of the operation. The boss needs to pass on all the information necessary. The number two, though, sometimes serves as a dumping ground. I was told by some that, you know, if the boss has a really bad day, he's probably going to vent with you. And so it's a complicated role, and it really requires quite a bit of humility.
Thanks, Sue. Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
An economic boom is coming. Don't let your business get left behind. If you need to build, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. You can still get an 80-foot by 150-foot building for under $99,000. That's right, 12,000 square feet for under $99,000. Don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach. Call 866-95-STEEL. 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-957-8335.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Friday, April 21, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Terror attack in Paris. Cop killed, but the assailant shot dead too. Arkansas executes a convicted killer. Democratic Party vice chair, lamenting so many election losses, says Obama could have been a better party leader. Tesla recalling 53,000 cars for a parking brake issue. An air marshal left his loaded gun in an airplane bathroom during a flight. Patriots and Chiefs open the NFL season in exactly 139 days. And a historic comeback for the Cavs last night, yet LeBron is asked about the new Kendrick Lamar album. Former Fox News personality Bill O'Reilly is now, as they say, on the beach. Dumped following revelations that he paid millions to settle sexual harassment allegations. Of course, the beach is more comfortable when you get a severance package worth $25 million, at least according to the Wall Street Journal. That said, does he have a shot at a comeback? This was a guy who was a revenue machine at Fox News and also a ratings champ. But Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says Mr. O'Reilly is in a deep hole that's hard to dig out of. Rick, what do you think?
He could retire comfortably if he wants to, but he's a very competitive guy, and I have a feeling he's not going to go quietly.
Yeah.
So everybody gets a second chance in America, a third chance, a fourth chance, however many chances in some cases. And basically, I'm saying I think it's going to be pretty hard for him to ever kind of reclaim the stature he had at Fox. It's just there's almost no place else he could do what he did there.
Right. All right, so who else has made, say, a similar rebound and done okay after kind of a big fall like this?
A couple of obvious examples are Glenn Beck, who left Fox a few years ago, and Keith Olbermann, who had a falling out with a couple of cable channels, ESPN and MSNBC. And those guys are still both around, but they're mostly involved with online operations. And I think the lesson here is that even though online media has obviously taken off, there's almost no single platform on the web that has the kind of audience and the kind of reach that Fox News does. It is the most successful cable news channel of all. O'Reilly's program was the most successful cable news program on the most successful cable news network. So I'm sure O'Reilly will surface somewhere. It's just going to be, he's just going to end up with a much smaller audience and a much smaller platform than he's been accustomed to.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. He's written a piece entitled Bill O'Reilly Faces a Very Tough Comeback. The guys like Glenn Beck and Keith Olbermann, though, left on different reasons, right? I mean, this was not a good reason that O'Reilly left.
Well, there are similarities. They both had kind of a falling out with their employers. But it was not as controversial as O'Reilly. Yeah. It was not related to sexual harassment in those cases. It was just kind of related to their personalities and the way they fit into the networks. So, yeah, O'Reilly has this bigger problem, obviously, to overcome, which was whatever tarnish gets put on him from, you know, the news that there have been several settlements amid sexual harassment claims. Now, he, of course, claims that he never did anything wrong, and he agreed to these settlements just basically to spare his family the grief of having to, you know, see this battle unfold in public. Of course, that didn't work. The battle's now unfolded in public. And, you know, nobody's saying he did anything illegal. You know, these apparently are legal settlements that are finalized. So they're kind of over and done with. But once the news got out that this had been happening, and, you know, that none of this was public until a couple of news organizations looked into it in the last few weeks. Apparently, the Murdochs who control Fox News said, you know, this is enough. We're just not going to fight this battle anymore. We're sick of the controversy, and we think it's bad for the network. So we had to go.
Ultimately, I know what these statements said, issued from the network itself and from Mr. O'Reilly. Do you think, ultimately, they got rid of him because of advertiser fallout or because of the actual sexual harassment allegations?
I think it's hard to separate the two. You know, obviously, there was this sort of mushrooming boycott by advertisers of the program. You know, Fox could have stuck with him and ridden it out. What we don't know is, will his replacement, Tucker Carlson, will Tucker Carlson draw the kind of ratings and therefore the ad revenue that O'Reilly did before the crisis, or that O'Reilly might have drawn even if he had stayed there?
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm with your cornflakes, you can follow me directly @GordonDeal. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. We're joined now live by Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith. Good morning, Charlotte. Earth Day, really, at the top of the list?
Good morning, Gordon. And yes, Earth Day actually tops our list most years, if only because maybe people are getting a little bit more eco-conscious. But this week, or this year, Earth Day is on Saturday, and lots of people are looking for ways to celebrate and give back. So you can take a worldwide tour with the latest version of Google Earth, which we just announced this week, or check out today's Google Doodle for some quick and easy tips on how to do your part for the planet. Actually, Gordon, it's a pretty old celebration. I didn't actually know that it started way back in 1970.
All right, so Earth Day in the top five, yet Weed Day, 420, Marijuana Day, not in the top five? Come on, Charlotte. This is a suspect list.
Yeah, not this year. Not this year.
How about Serena Williams? My goodness.
Oh, my gosh. She broke the internet this week, Gordon, because she revealed that she has a bun in the oven. She and her fiancé announced the news via Snapchat, perhaps accidentally, but she's 20 weeks along, which means that she won the Australian Open while she was pregnant. I mean, this week she took a picture of herself in a bathing suit just with the simple caption, 20 weeks, and athletes and just fans alike have taken to social media and are going absolutely bonkers over her pregnancy.
And she didn't mean 20 weeks to Wimbledon or something like that. It's 20 weeks pregnant, we think.
She looks pretty pregnant. I don't know.
How about this unicorn frappuccino?
Oh, my goodness. So speaking of breaking the internet, Starbucks began selling a unicorn frappuccino on a Wednesday. And for those of you who don't know what this is, it's a rainbow-inspired frappuccino with like 75 grams of sugar, but it's very Instagrammable, so fans have been charging the shops all week. We even are seeing baristas now taking to social media to beg people not to order the drink. They're kind of complicated to make.
I gotta play this clip because the barista freak out to me should be the video of the week. Here it is.
I have never been so stressed out in my entire life. It has been insane. If you love us as baristas, don't order it.
I just love that guy. If you love us as baristas, I guess these things are tough to make or leave stains on your hands or whatever.
You know, it's the price you pay for good-looking drinks, Gordon.
I guess. I hope he gets tipped well. NBA playoffs, obviously.
Yes, they're now in full swing, and people are tuning in to see which team will take home this year's championship. We have a whole NBA trends page where you can see how your teams stack up in our search rankings. But obviously, the Cavaliers are topping our search list this week because of their awesome comeback against the Pacers. Everyone is abuzz and searching for different questions about playoffs. But one of our top questions for this week's search was, how many playoff games are there going to be this year? We don't know, but we should buckle up because there could be a lot.
Finish up quickly with promposals being in the search list.
It's prom season, and we see people searching on Google for the best ways to make their big night special. Our top search question this week was, how do I ask a girl to prom? Very, very sweet.
Yeah, not by text. There's a clue for you. Thank you, Charlotte. Appreciate a few minutes as always. Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith. By the way, she sent a note that the YouTube video of the week is Simone Biles, the Olympic gymnast, getting a scare on Ellen. No, I'm sorry. There's just nothing to that video. The Starbucks barista freakout, by far, best video of the week. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. Hey, glad you're with us on this Friday, 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the White House is trying to avoid a shutdown of the government next week while also seeking to revive a health care overhaul that collapsed last month. With less than a week to pass legislation funding the government for the rest of the fiscal year, Democrats are demanding that the legislation include money for insurance companies, without which fragile insurance markets could implode. While the White House in return wants additional money for defense, the border wall, and border enforcement. Failure to extend the funding will trigger a partial government shutdown on April 29th. Arkansas has put to death a 51-year-old convicted murderer, the first of eight executions officials had planned to carry out in quick succession this month before the expiration of the state's lethal injection drugs. This reporter was a witness to the midnight execution of Liddell Lee.
It didn't seem rushed. It didn't seem that he suffered from anything. I mean, he was pretty out within a few minutes, and they checked, and then they checked again. They did two consciousness checks.
Three of the eight planned executions in Arkansas were canceled this week because of court orders. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says the arrest of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is a priority. Prosecutors in recent weeks have been drafting a memo that looks at charges against Assange and members of WikiLeaks that possibly include conspiracy, theft of government property, and violations of the Espionage Act. More than 2 months after President Trump got into a spat with the leader of Australia, Vice President Mike Pence will be working to smooth over any lingering hard feelings. Pence will meet with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull tomorrow as part of his 10-day four-country trip to Asia. His agenda includes reassuring Turnbull about the state of the unusually strained U.S.-Australia alliance and laying out the new administration's priorities for the Pacific Rim. And something to think about the next time you warm up your car in one of those bitter mornings, at least if you live in Michigan. A judge in suburban Detroit has ruled against a man who was challenging a $125 ticket for leaving his running car unattended. Police defended the ticket, saying a thief could have stolen the man's car from his driveway.
I think the man probably knew that. But those Detroit winners?
Warmth is a priority
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. Come on.
Yeah.
Jeez. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. A Texas elementary school is showing its support for a beloved crossing guard after she was diagnosed with cancer. Staff and students at the Rusk School in Houston have already raised more than half of their $10,000 goal. On behalf of San Juana Torres, who's worked at the school for 20 years, she's 59, started working there in 97. Since then, she's helped make sure all the children safely reach their classrooms, including all five of her own sons who attended the school. She's known for high-fiving the kids as they cross the street. ABC News says she was diagnosed last month with uterine cancer and was scheduled to undergo a hysterectomy yesterday in the Ben Taub Hospital in Houston. The GoFundMe page is titled, Our Beloved Crossing Guard. It's designed to help cover the cost of medical bills and living expenses while she recovers over the summer. She plans to return to work at the school in August. Crossing guards are tough, man. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.